Live from Chicago, Illinois, here is another episode of
What's That From?
So I assume our performers have their scripts. I don't know who's reading what. I don't know what script you're reading. Michael, you take it away, please, for What's That From? 312-981-7200 when you know what that's from. Let us know. We have a gift card from Apt Electronics waiting for you with the correct answer.
All right, Michael. Everyone is good to go. We are setting on a schoolyard playground.
Where have you been?
Yeah, you almost give me a goddamn heart attack. You better have it. Where is it?
I got it. It's flawless. It's great, man. Look.
Fogel reaches into his pocket and pulls out the fake ID. Evan grabs it.
Okay, Mr. McLovin. What kind of a stupid name is that? What are you trying to be, an Irish R&B singer?
Well, they let you pick any name you want when you get there.
So you picked McLovin?
It was between that or Muhammad.
Why was it between Muhammad? Why didn't you just pick a common name?
Actually, Seth, Muhammad is the most commonly used name on Earth.
Have you ever actually met a guy named Muhammad?
Have you ever actually met a guy named McLovin?
No, that's why you picked a bad name.
You probably have federal agents tracking you for even considering the name Muhammad on a fake ID.
Look at this, man. You don't even have a first name. It just says name. McLovin.
One name.
Like, I just thought McLovin sounded old and the chicks would dig it.
Under what circumstances would you ever have to show a chick your ID?
She could ask, or I could show it to her.
Holy smokes, I don't believe this. This says you're 25. Why didn't you just put 21?
I knew you would ask that. Look, every day, dozens of kids roll into the liquor store with fake IDs, trying to act like Joe Casual. Each and every one of these kids just so happens to be 21 years old. Now, just how many 21-year-olds do you think there are?
Fool.
Calm down. It's not terrible. This might actually work, but it's up to you, Fogel. They'll either think, oh, it's another punk kid with a fake ID, or, look, it's McLovin, the 25-year-old organ donor. What's it going to be?
Fogel takes a deep breath.
I am McLovin.
You're not McLovin. No one's McLovin, and this is never going to work. We need a new way to get alcohol. Could we drive to Canada or something?
Like, I still think it's going to work.
They walk into the staff parking lot. Seth stops.
What? What the beep? Where's my car?
I told you, man. What did I say? I told you that was a dumb idea.
Why would you park in the staff?
Shut up, Fogel.
Because you're not staff.
I'm aware of that, faggle.
Seth storms off. Evan follows him.
Will you still pick me up from work?
Evan and Seth round the corner, leaving Fogel behind.
Let's go to your house.
Interior shot, Evan's bedroom. Soon after, Seth puts on a shirt that is way too small, and he's wearing pants that are too tight. Evan is playing the video game Grand Theft Auto.
Now we wait for your mom to blink off and steal your parents' booze like your brother always does. Take a bit from every bottle. Piece of cake. It's not exactly what Jules wanted, but it'll do, right?
Come on, just wear what you wore to school.
I told you I can't do that. I can't let Jules see me in the same shit I wore at school.
Beep. Hello? Anyone?
It's in the script.
Yeah, censor.
I wore it to school. It's completely unbecoming.
Why don't you just go to your house, get your own clothes, because this is stupid.
You're stupid. I can't go home. Then my mom will know the car's got towed, and I'll be grounded tonight. I'll just stay here all weekend and pick it up on Monday.
Where the beep is the dirt bike? Screw it. I'm just going to kill everyone. Boom. Die, piggies.
Don't you have bigger clothes?
See what my dad's got.
Interior, Evan's house. In the parents' room, soon after, Seth is wearing Evan's dad's clothes, a 70s-style cowboy shirt, just barely pulling it off, as well as slacks.
Not bad, eh?
Well, it's like 7:30 and my mom's still here.
All right, here's what we'll do. I'll blank your blank in the basement while you steal the liquor. How did they give the elected official this line? I mean, really. And the gay one at that.
Wait, what?
Who's gay?
What? Oh, shucks, you. Let's just sneak down there and grab it.
I tell it was.
Interior Evan's house later. Evan and Seth, carrying an empty 2-liter bottle of Coke, cautiously descends the creaking staircase. Their eyes watch the TV room where Evan's mom is on the phone. The boys enter the dining room and cautiously open the liquor cabinet. Seth enthusiastically reaches for a bottle, whispering,
"All right, guys. All right, dude. Get ready to receive."
Evan begins unscrewing his bottle when he notices a little black line marking where the liquor bottle is filled to. Then he realizes that every bottle has it.
I can't believe it. They marked them.
What do you mean they? Oh, man, your parents are blankers. What are we going to do now? My mom just texted me, LMAO. Thanks, Cheryl. It reminds me of high school.
We're just going to take some and fill it back up with water. Get ready. I'll get the water.
Evan hurries off. Seth looks at the liquor cabinet trying to choose the best booze. He grabs a massive bottle of gin. Evan reappears.
Gin? That stuff is literally undrinkable.
It's the biggest bottle, you doobiehead. Just do it. She's right in the other room.
Evan reluctantly holds an empty Coke bottle as Seth shakily pours the gin in. Evan starts refilling the gin bottle with water when suddenly they both hear his mom coming.
Run!
But the booze!
Take it.
Seth runs off with the gin and Coke bottle. Evan quickly closes the cabinet, sneaks off right before his mom enters. Through the window, she sees that Seth is already on the front lawn and thinks nothing of it.
Bye, Mom. Love you.
Love you, sweetie.
Evan leaves. Exterior shot, Evan's house, front lawn. Evan and Seth triumphantly walk away. Seth holds up the gin.
Look at this. Smell its glory. He opens it up and takes a whiff.
Sorry about that. I didn't get that marked. He opens it up and takes a whiff.
It wasn't big or bold. It's good. Barely a scent.
He takes a crazy big swig.
See that? I always said I had the highest alcohol tolerance. I'm like Superman.
Seth takes another swig, but makes a strange face. Evan grabs the bottle and takes a swig.
It's freaking water.
Water? Dang, your brother beat us to the punch. We have to go back.
We can't go back. She totally knew. She'll just bust us for sure. And we have to meet Fogel.
Well, fine. Text your brother. He's a stupid piece of something.
You can say crap.
Okay. I don't want to screw up again.
Evan pulls out his cell and chuckles as he types. Exterior, shop Wells at dusk. Evan and Seth walk off the bus. They see Fogel walking towards them. He's in his uniform, holding a hanger with a shirt and a vest.
What the heck is that?
A vest?
You're going to look like a Pinocchio.
What? It's just a vest?
Yeah. How many high schoolers do you see in vests?
You know, they got a ton of liquor right in there. If we get it now, we can get to the party faster with all of Jules' stuff.
No way. I work there. They know I'm not 25.
Nobody said anything about you, blank blanker. You have one name on your ID. It's out of the equation. And now I'm going to have to take the drastic measures. I'm going to steal the booze.
What? No. Hell no. You can't do that.
Yeah, right.
That's right. And that's the way I give Jules back her money, like you did with Helen. That was a good. That was good thinking. That's that's how you seal the deal. It won't be hard. Thank you all. I'm going to lose my next re-election. Remember Dan Berkleb stole a keg from here, and he's got like really bad
scoliosis.
From now on, the part of Seth will be played by Dave Lang.
You're not going to steal it. Fogel, he's not going to steal it.
Please, don't do this. I promise I'll get the liquor later.
I'm stepping up. And once I'm up, I don't step back down. Maybe you state boys don't understand that.
Seth walks to the store. And scene.
I have one disclaimer. I'm actually also the liquor commissioner in Lake County. So I do judge Sail the Minor on quite an often basis.
I have absolutely no idea what any of that was.
Okay.
It was blankety blank.
Yeah.
Were you listening?
Is that a movie?
No, I'm not going to say the name. All I know is that was the best Michael Sarah I've ever heard.
Ooh.
Who's Michael Sarah? Oh, Sarah.
Sarah.
I call him Sarah.
I say Sarah, Sarah.
Sarah, Sarah, K. Yeah.
K, Sarah, Sarah.
All right. Do we have any, Michael? Do we have anybody who?
Oh, we've got
know
calls. We've got calls.
We got lots of Lake County callers, I'm sure.
Yeah, we have all of Aaron's constituents, and as well as Brad and Patrick, who have guesses for us.
Jeff's calling Brad. Back. The guy with the property taxes.
Yeah, John's like, it's 3,500 square feet. $17,000 is ridiculous.
He's like, now I know why I'm in trouble. Oh my God.
Wait, let me ask, before we go to the phone lines, Dave, Ken, the three of us, we were bearing witness to this. Did you guys, were you familiar with the movie that they were reading?
No clue.
I have no freaking clue. I have no idea. I'm sitting here and I'm trying to figure it out.
Nope.
I'm trying to picture.
I think it's a millennial thing.
Hey, Ken, it's Star Wars. No, I'm kidding.
You know what? It could be Star Wars, and I would still have no freaking clue.
Star Wars it is not.
McLovin, I am.
Yeah. Should have done it in my Yoda voice.
That's the key part.
Yeah.
Yes. All right,
well,
I'm sorry.
McLovin, though, reminded me of one of the characters in Back to the Future. Wasn't there a McLovin?
Marty McFly.
Marty McFly. That's right. Yes. Yeah.
Every time I hear McLovin, though, I think of Mayor McCheese. That's just, you know.
Oh, great. Now I'm hungry. All right. Let's go to our listeners. Who do we have first, Michael?
We have listener Brad.
Hey, Brad. What's that from?
Well, Brad. That was a pretty easy one. That's Superbad, one of the funniest movies ever.
Okay.
But did we do it justice, Brad? Did we do it justice?
Yeah, you guys were cracking me up. You realize that sometimes politicians can be human beings.
Aww,
yeah, see, there we go.
See, there you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
Here's the funny thing, though.
When
he was handed the script, he had absolutely no idea what he was reading. And all of a sudden, you should see his face when he would come to the lines. He's like, what? Oh, my God. Yeah, should I read this?
That was not a good one.
He forgot to censor himself.
He kept going, of course, which
well,
is
hey,
admirable.
I rescued you at the end, just to be clear.
It was kind of like a Ron Burgundy moment where they totally set him up.
He's going along. He's like, what? Am I supposed to read that? I'm an elected official.
Oh, man.
I have never seen Superbad. I have absolutely no idea.
Oh,
so that's
so awesome. Me
well, Brad, congratulations. You have a gift card from Apt Electronics. I know we have Patrick on hold. We have a pair of tickets for you at Zany's on Sunday night where I'll be headlining. I'm actually headlining three shows tonight, that Saturday night, at the Zany's on Wells. You can go to Zany's.com. Brad, you can come too if you want to come to Zany's on Sunday. You can get a pair of tickets as well.
I would love to. Yeah, listen,
yes.
Can I interject a bit of levity into this as well, political levity?
Oh, yes. Of course, we'd love
actually,
that.
It's not levity. There's a book that just came out called Democracy in Chains, mm-hmm. and it shows how libertarians in the form of the Koch brothers and et cetera, pretty much led by this guy who was obscure, but he was a Nobel Prize winning economist who was sort of the mentor of, Milton Friedman, had pretty much started the whole movement that has gotten us where we are now with the dismantling of the administrative state, in which we are not filling any positions in any of the, not any, but, you know, a third of the positions in the EPA and the State Department and stuff, and they're doing this on purpose because they want government to fail so that they can privatize everything. It's called Democracy and Change. Please check it out. If you want to read a concise review of it, type in Google Democracy and Change and then NPR, because there's a great short review of it that lets you know how we're being lied into Somalia, basically. Scary. And
it's by Nancy McLean. Right. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Exactly. Thank you.
Do you listen to NPR?
No, I think it's...
Hey, what? What are we listening to? We're listening to WGN Radio.
I know nobody. I've never met a person in my entire life who's listened to NPR, ever.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, I know.
Who?
I was teasing
me.
You listen to NPR?
All the time.
Oh, my God.
Dave.
I listen to WGN.
I lived in D.C. for 15 years at the start of the Jimmy Carter administration. I listened to it every day. I used to call Diane Rehm all the time. I've gone away from it because it's become corporate controlled. It's sad.
I mean, here's the thing for me with NPR. I can always hear them breathing. And I can always hear the saliva. Their microphones are way too hot.
Now, because I'm so excited to have gotten on. I really enjoy the enlightenment of most of your panel tonight, too, especially the thing about the voter suppression. Because this Kobach guy, do you know he just got fined $1,000 for lying about material he brought in when he went to see Trump?
I did not know that.
Yeah, it came out tonight.
Oh, there you go. Well, Brad, I have to run to a break. Thank you so much. And don't hesitate to call back in. Don't just call when we have a What's That from a movie I've never seen. Call and join the conversation anytime. Please. We'd love to hear from you, okay? Awesome. Michael will take your information. Love to have you at the show on Sunday night at Zanies on Wells. Go to zanies.com for more information. Let's come back in a moment for Tell Me Something Good on 720 WGN.